Welcome to Shaped by Scripture. This month, we'll continue walking together through Scripture, helping you memorize it, understand it, and live it out in practical faith-shaping ways. Here's what we believe. When God's Word takes root, it bears fruit. It reshapes how we think, reorients how we live, and renews how we love. Scripture doesn't just change moments, it changes lives. So wherever you are today, pause for a moment. Take a deep breath. Open your heart to what God wants to say. And let's continue this journey together, allowing our lives to be shaped by Scripture.
Welcome to Shaped by Scripture podcast. I'm Scott Thomas, and I'm grateful you're joining me today as we continue our five-week series, Built to Last, God's Design for Marriage and the Home. Last week, we laid the foundation in Genesis 2, and we saw that marriage is not a cultural invention. It's God's design. It's covenantal, it's complementary, and it's purposeful. But today, we go even deeper, because before we talk about communication or parenting or rhythms and responsibilities, we have to answer a more basic question. Who is actually building our home? Listen to Psalm 127, verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. This is the word of the Lord. Psalm 127 is attributed to Solomon. That matters. Solomon knew something about building. He built the temple, he built palaces, he built cities. And yet, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he writes these words, unless the Lord builds the house, it's vanity. The word vain means empty, futile, weightless. It's entirely possible to build something impressive that ultimately lacks eternal substance. And if we're honest, many of us approach marriage and family like a construction project we manage ourselves. We may read the books, attend conferences, implement the strategies, and adjust the schedules. And none of those things are wrong, but here's the question beneath the question. Is God the architect or just a consultant? Because in Psalm 127, we don't read, invite the Lord to help with your house. It says, unless the Lord builds it. There is a difference. There is the difference. Now, when the psalmist says house, he doesn't merely mean a physical structure. In the Old Testament, house often refers to a household or a family line, a legacy, a dynasty. In other words, Psalm 127 is not primarily about lumber and brick. It's about marriage, children, generational faithfulness, the things that outlive us. And here is the sobering truth. You can construct a comfortable home without building a godly one. You can create activity without cultivating spiritual life. You can produce success without producing disciples, unless the Lord builds the house. So what does it look like practically? It means at least three things I want to share with you today. God sets the blueprint, number one. No builder starts without a design, yet many couples attempt marriage with cultural blueprints instead of biblical ones. Culture says marriage is about personal fulfillment. Scripture says marriage is about covenant faithfulness and reflecting Christ. That takes us to Ephesians chapter 5. Now, culture says children are a lifestyle accessory, but Scripture says children are arrows entrusted for God's purpose, which is verses 3 and 4 of Psalm chapter 127. So when the Lord builds the house, His Word defines the structure, not preferences, trends, or Instagram feeds. The Scripture defines the structure. Let's look at point number 2. Consider this, God supplies the strength. Even with the best blueprint, builders can grow weary. And Psalm 127 subtly addresses that too. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. You know, there's a lot of anxiety under much of modern family life. I mean, what about the worries? The worries of finances, the worries of safety, the worry of future, the worry about whether we're even doing enough. There's so many weights that we carry around because of the anxiety associated with modern family life. But here's the reality. You and I were never meant to carry the full weight of securing our family's future. That burden belongs to God. When the Lord builds the house, we work, yes, but we don't work in vain. We don't work as functional atheists. Rather, we pray, we depend, we repent quickly, we forgive freely, and we trust deeply. We trust God deeply with all aspects of our lives, of our families, of our homes, of our legacy. Number three, God produces the growth. You cannot manufacture spiritual life in your spouse. You cannot engineer saving faith in your children. And you cannot program holiness into your home. But what you can do is you can cultivate. You can teach. You can model. You can discipline. But even with those, only God gives life. That realization shouldn't be discouraging. It should be liberating, because it means the ultimate outcome does not rest on your perfection. It rests on God's faithfulness. Let's sit for a moment with a phrase that's in Psalm 127, verse 1. That phrase that I want to think about for just a moment is labor in vain. Let's consider, what does it not mean to labor in vain? It does not mean the labor doesn't feel real. I'm sure that you have had moments in your life where you truly sought the Lord, but you have to keep working. There may be moments that you've thought, I'm going to trust the Lord and I'm not going to do anything. And perhaps there were instances or circumstances that your call was to be still and to know that He was God. There may be other instances, however, where, and these are much more frequent, in my opinion, where we trust God, but we continue to work while we wait. It means that labor lacks eternal grounding. That's what he means when he says vain. That we're laboring, but we're not laboring in an eternal way or in a trusting way. What you can do, you can build financial security. You can achieve educational excellence. You can maintain outward appearances, and you can still miss the central work of forming a Christ-centered home. Activity is not the same as foundation, and busyness is not the same as fruitfulness. Psalm 127 calls us to evaluate not just what we're building, but how and with whom we are building. Now, this is where we get a chance to zoom out to the gospel. Psalm 127, it ultimately points beyond Solomon, because there is another builder. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says, the wise man builds his house on the rock. And in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus declares, I will build my church. Notice who the builder is, Christ himself. And here is the hope for every marriage and every home listening today. If your house has cracks, if your marriage feels fragile, if your parenting feels inadequate, the Lord is not intimidated by unfinished projects. He specializes in restoration. He redeems what is misbuilt. He strengthens what we weaken. He rebuilds what sin fractures. When Christ is the cornerstone, even imperfect structures stand. I want to leave you with some diagnostic questions, if I could. Here are some questions. I want to ask you these questions, and you can think them through. Maybe they'll linger with you. Number one, is Scripture shaping the tone of your marriage and your home? Do you allow the Scripture, the Word of God, to resonate in your life, to center and to shape your marriage and your relationships? Now, we are on a year-long journey where we seek to be shaped by Scripture, knowing God's word in our mind and holding God's word in our heart. But are you allowing that word to also carry over into your marriage? Number two, is prayer a rhythm in your household or a last resort? This is a big question. We are praying people at Lone Oak First Baptist Church. We are praying people at my home. We try to. to every in every reasonable way. We try to end our day as a family praying with each child, and we want to teach our children by modeling to them, but also practicing prayer. We, though, this is a more generic version of the we have a tendency to say we believe that prayer works, that there's power in prayer. And we have a tendency to really come to the Lord in prayer when we really have a need. But sometimes, if we're honest, we use prayer not a part of our daily rhythms, but we use prayer as a last resort. We're going to seek the Lord in prayer to get us out of a hole or to get us out of a corner. But do we pray to the Lord to protect us from the holes, to prevent us from finding our way into the corner? Here's a third question. Are you depending on techniques more than on the Spirit? I think that as we grow in our walk with the Lord, we recognize in the beginning, we recognize the authority of God as the Father. We recognize the great acts of salvation and redemption through Jesus Christ. And then we should grow more sensitive. We should grow more sensitive to the accessibility of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit, the activity of the Holy Spirit. But we still, again, just being honest, we still have a tendency to depend on techniques or strategies or systems rather than on the Holy Spirit. So let me ask you, are you depending on the Holy Spirit every single day to guide your steps, to shape your attitudes, your heart, your direction, and to carry you each day, each moment, where He would have you? Here's a final diagnostic question. If someone observed your home for a week, would they conclude that the Lord is central or simply optional? If someone observed your home for a week, would they conclude that the Lord is central or simply optional? These are foundational questions, because ultimately what you build today becomes what your children will inhabit tomorrow. Now, let me speak briefly to three groups. I recognize that our listeners are scattered across different areas of life, different seasons of life. So let me give a couple of comments to three different groups. First, to young couples. If you're a young couple, whether you have young children, no children, or no children yet, let me speak to you. Start with God now. It is far easier to build with the right foundation than to renovate it later. This is your opportunity. If you're a husband, this is your opportunity to take the lead that you hope to one day portray to your children. Take the lead today. Encourage your spouse, your wife, to pray with you, to read the scriptures with you, and don't be afraid to step out and be the spiritual leader of your home. You know, we are the spiritual leaders. As men of the home, we are spiritual leaders. And one of the realities that I try to bring up quite frequently in conversations is, as the man of the house, you are the spiritual leader. The question is not whether or not you're the spiritual leader. The true question is, what are you leading your family towards? So start with God now. It's far easier to build with the right foundation than to renovate it later. All right, to parents in the middle years, do not underestimate ordinary faithfulness. Daily prayer, consistent presence, humble repentance. These are bricks in a lasting structure. We like our routines, and as we age, we tend to get set in our ways. If we're going to be set in our ways, why not set our ways to honor the Lord, to trust the Lord, and to follow the Lord? So don't underestimate the ordinary faithfulness and how your daily prayer, your consistent presence, and your humble repentance will contribute not only to the stability and godliness of your home, but contribute to the way your children will understand how life should be practiced. All right, empty nesters or grandparents, your building season is not over. Legacy is still being shaped. Your prayers still frame the house. Don't underestimate the value of your presence and participation. Don't underestimate it. So often we remember our first impression and our last impression with people. Empty nesters, grandparents, these are your days to establish the last impression you want to leave. And I'm not suggesting nor praying that your life be cut short. I'm simply saying be mindful of what you're leaving and invest, participate in leaving it the way that you intended. All right, conclusion. Homes built on personality will eventually shift. Homes built on finances eventually shape. Homes built on convenience eventually erode, but homes built by the Lord endure. Not because people inside are flawless, but because the foundation beneath them is faithful. Unless the Lord builds the house, we strive anxiously. But when the Lord builds the house, we labor hopefully. And that is the difference. I want to thank you for joining me for this episode of Shaped by Scripture podcast. Next week, we'll continue in our Built to Last series by looking at what the Lord says and how we should continue to build our lives, build our homes, and build our marriages in a godly way. Until then, may you build wisely and may you be shaped by Scripture.